Well, this Sunday we're looking at what is sometimes referred to as the enigmatic story of Lazarus. And it's an unusual story in many ways. And there's lots of things there for us. I certainly don't think I'm going to get all of them in one go. I sometimes think that when it comes to the really important parts of Scripture, a whole lifetime will just be the beginning of understanding it, and then we'll figure out the rest of it when we see God in glory. But as I was looking at this passage, the thing that kept coming back to me was this whole idea that being dead isn't necessarily the last word. And there's a couple of things going on there, because there's a couple of things going on in this story, at least. One of the things that we need to remember, of course, is that death is both final and it's not final. And this is, of course, especially close to home as we get closer to Easter, that dual nature of death. And for those of us who have been to a funeral, we reflect on the same kinds of things, that death is final for those of us who are left behind, but not for those who have died. That's the beginning, not the end. But for us, when someone dies, that's the end of our relationship with them. And this story brings us into high relief by messing around with that. It's an unusual story in many ways. From the very beginning, where Jesus receives word that a good friend of his is sick, so he does what everybody does, he hangs around where he is for a few more days. That's just sort of odd. And the fact that John mentions that means we need to pay attention to that. We need to pay more attention to the fact that Jesus knew what was going to happen. That Jesus knew the dual nature of death even there. Remember last week we talked about how not everything happens for the reasons that we think it might happen. But the man who was born blind, where the disciples said, "Well, why?" And Jesus said, "Why is the wrong question? This isn't a why issue. This is something else." And it's made clear here as well in verse 4, where in this translation it says, "When Jesus heard this, that Lazarus was sick, Jesus said, 'The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.'" And he said this, as is made clear just a few verses down, that he knows that Lazarus is already dead. So there's something going on here that when he says the sickness will not end in death, he's not lying, he's not making something up. He's saying you're missing the point. You're looking at the wrong thing again. Later on, he points out to his disciples that he does know this when he says our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, which was a common metaphor for death back then. So it wouldn't have been impossible for the disciples to know that Jesus was aware of him being dead. But they thought, well, okay, he's asleep. That's what you should do when you're sick. That's why doctors used to tell you to take 2 aspirin and call them in the morning. It was so you'd go and get some sleep and you'd probably feel better. It's a little more complicated than that, I expect, about some things. But on the whole, sleep restores us. The disciples thought, oh, good. And then Jesus said, no, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad you know I was here, because this is going to help you believe even more. If you're confused at this point, at about verse 15 or 16, that's okay, because you should be. The disciples were confused. Jesus was going back to a place that was a source of threat for him, which is why Thomas says, well, I guess if Jesus wants to go there to die, we may as well go with him and die too. This is the same Thomas who doubts later, by the way. So he's a complicated character, as we all are. But so then we get into verse 17, where Jesus actually gets back and he says, okay, let's go and we'll see. Martha comes to see Jesus and says, you know, I know lots of things about you, and I know that if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And we have another one of these things. It's another exchange that is confusing, perhaps, or at least makes you wonder what's going on, where Jesus says, well, your brother will rise again. And Martha, being spiritually astute, says, well, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day, thinking that's what Jesus is talking about. And Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. anyone who believes in me will live, even when they die. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And asks, Martha, do you believe this? He says, well, yes, I believe that you are the Christ, Son of God, who has come into the world. Do you notice that she doesn't say, yes, I believe that my brother is alive? She's not missing the point. She's not intentionally. She's skipping by it because she doesn't understand at this point any more than we do. So Jesus goes, meets with Mary. Jesus sees Mary weeping and their friends, and he's moved and says, where have you laid Lazarus? Well, come and see. So they go. We have the shortest verse in Scripture. Jesus wept. Heather and I were going for a walk last night with Eli, and we were talking about this very thing. And we were talking about that, those two words, Jesus wept. Why are they there? What do they mean? And it's not just a trivial question. It is a question, I think, of some import. Why did Jesus weep? Because Jesus knew what he was going to do. He knew that Lazarus was shortly going to be raised from the dead. So why would he cry? And I think what it does is it gives us an insight into, once again, why Jesus came to be like us. And it helps us realize again how much Jesus identifies with us. Because when Jesus is weeping here, it says that Jesus wept. After we're told that Jesus observes the other people weeping, Jesus is moved by the loss of the people around him as much as anything else. We're often told that Jesus comes alongside us to feel what we're feeling with us. And this passage is a demonstration of that. When we suffer, in a very real sense, God himself suffers along with us. And Jesus demonstrated this here. Jesus wept even knowing the ultimate outcome. Well, I guess it's the penultimate outcome, the outcome before the ultimate outcome for Lazarus. He knew that Lazarus was going to be restored to life, while also knowing that Lazarus would be raised from the dead at the end of all things, the one that Martha had talked about. And yet Jesus still wept. Why? Because when we lose people we love, it's painful. And Jesus enters into that pain with us, even though dead isn't the last word. Jesus knows that better than anyone. And he knew it before he went through it himself on Easter. When the Jews say, see how he loved him, about Jesus weeping, I think that was part of it, but I think the larger picture is when we look at Jesus weeping in our imagination, it's not just that Jesus loved Lazarus, but that Jesus loves us all. And that when we go through those same kinds of loss, it moves Jesus even now. That when we are at a funeral, when we are at a bedside, when we are wherever we are, Jesus is with us, feeling what we're feeling. Even though Jesus knows that the resurrection, these things can be made right in a way that will be eternal. Dead isn't the last word, but it's still a pretty weighty word. It's a word that affects us deeply, and it should. We go on to read that Jesus does call Lazarus forth. Martha, always the practical one, says, we don't want to take that stone away. He's been there 4 days. And this isn't 4 days in a Saskatchewan winter. This is 4 days in a Middle East, well, any time of the year, really. It's going to be different than here. Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And they take away the stone. Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. And he does. And in that moment, Jesus says a lot of things. And one of the things he says is that dead isn't the last word. He says, I have control over that. I am larger, more powerful than death itself. But the thing we need to remember is that Lazarus still died. He just did it twice. Most of us only do it once. Some people have done it more than once. My mother, in fact, was clinically dead. While she was carrying me, by the way, which explains a lot of things, as it turns out, about my subsequent development. But Lazarus still died. The resurrection that Jesus provided for Lazarus was one that didn't last forever, but it was a looking forward to the one that will be forever. And I think it's that double nature that helps us once again expand what we think when we read that Jesus wept, that it was more than just a show of grief. What Jesus does there is demonstrates his essential humanity. Jesus demonstrates exactly how much he was like us, namely identical to us. He was a human being exactly like we are. And the thing is, Jesus takes that humanity with him when he goes back to heaven. After the ascension, he takes it with him. And it's confusing because he always had it in a way. But Jesus demonstrated it for us. This was for us. The incarnation was for us in oh so many ways, and this is another one. So that even now, when we go through the worst parts of our lives, we can look to this passage and say that Jesus understands. We might look at God the Father and see God the Father is just too big. From our perspective, and our perspective only, there's too much distance, perhaps, between us and God the Father. There might be too much of a gap of unknowability between us and God as the Holy Spirit, because we've never been spirits. We've never experienced what it might possibly be to be God the Father, but we know what it means to be human. And we know from this passage and so many others that Jesus knows that too. And perhaps it would be difficult for us to imagine God the Father and God the Holy Spirit being as close to us and understanding us as well. But we know Jesus does. Jesus was here, walking around, doing the things that we do, experiencing the reality of loss and death. When Jesus weeps there, even though he knows the dead doesn't mean the end of everything in the same way that we sometimes do, when Jesus weeps there, it helps me understand that Jesus suffers along with me and you. Because he knows. This is of tremendous comfort for us when we're dealing with these biggest things of life. Yesterday I was at the funeral of, outside of my family, probably my closest friend. Died at 63. Same age as my mother. Equally early. In his case, an accident. We were trying to figure out how long we've known each other. His wife, Donna, and Heather and I were talking at the hospital. And we went to see him for the last time before they turned off the machines. We're not even sure how long we've known each other because it's like we've known each other forever. If it wasn't for the reality that I know that Jesus understands from the inside, I'm not sure what I would have done yesterday. Or any day when I understand or when I am faced inescapably with the reality that life ends. But this passage tells me that Jesus is there with me, not as an observer, not as someone there to provide comfort because that's what he's supposed to do. Jesus is there crying with me because he knows what it is to lose. He knows what it is to face in this life the finality of death. Dead isn't the last word. It wasn't for Lazarus in an unusual way. And it isn't for us in that other way. It's easy for us to live as if we're never going to die, and I think that probably makes sense. I think living every second as if you might die the next second, I think would be very tiresome. But it's good for us to be reminded now and then that this life is a limited thing. But it's not the only thing. Eric is with God in a way that I can't be now. It's the same way many of our relatives are, many of our parents have moved on before. They're with God in a way that we can't be yet. But it's a way that we will be. Because dead isn't the last word. Dying is a transition into a greater life. And no one knows that better than God. But Jesus still wept. Lenten season is a time when we think about some of the larger and largest things of life. Life and death itself. And as we travel through Lent in various years, it will be one thing or another. It will be difficult, it will be hard, it will be easy some years. You barely even notice it. But what this story does is it tells us that God is with us through all of it. That Jesus goes through what we are going through with us from the perspective of knowing it the same way we do. An all-knowing God has always known what suffering is. But we don't know what it is to be all-knowing. We do know what it is to be human. And Jesus was. Lent is almost over. We're almost Easter, the best day of the year, but we're not quite there yet. And if these next couple of weeks are those difficult ones, if they're a challenge in any way, and for that matter, if any week or any time is a challenge, come back to this passage. Come back to this story. And realize that in the confusion and the complexity of life and death, Jesus, who knew all about all of it, still wept. Dead isn't the last word. But it's a tough one to move through. And if you're finding it a challenge, as I am, remember that Jesus wept, so it's okay for you to do so also. Amen.